I also feel very happy to be able to come to Germany this time. It's a long time since I came here last. That was about 4 years ago. And prior to that, I often used to come to Germany, especially in Heidelberg, and used to have your association quite abundantly. And I feel very happy to be back again. It's something like meeting the old friends again. And so I'll be here for a few days, well, 2 days. And I look forward to your association. Hare Krishna. So reading from Bhagavad Gita, is it written on the board or
the second verse?
So Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter. This chapter is entitled as Devotional Service, Text 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Mayi Avesha Mano Je Man Nitya Yukta Upashate Sraddhaya Paraya Parayopetas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Vesha Mano Jema Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha Maya Vesha Mano Jema Nitya Yukta Upashate Shraddhaya Parayopetas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha Maya Vesha Mano Jema Nitya Yukta Upashate Shraddhaya Parayopetas Te Me Yukta Tama Mataha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Mayi, upon me, Aveshya, fixing, Manaha, the mind, Je, those who, Mang, me, Nitya, always, Yukta, engaged, Upashate, worship, Shraddhaya, with faith, Paraya, transcendental, Upeta, endowed, Te, they, Me, by me, Yukta Tamaha, most perfect in yoga, Mataha, are considered. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with grace and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Please repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith
are considered by me to be most perfect, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon His personal form and who worships Him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee constantly engaged, sometimes he chants, sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. Sri Bhagavan Ubacha, Maya Vesha Manoje Mang Nitta Yukta Upashate, Shraddhaya Paraya Petas Teme Yukta Tamamata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So, in this chapter, Krishna is establishing the glory of devotional service. Krishna is explaining that how devotional service is the highest activity for any living entity. There is nothing superior to devotional service. Sometimes people consider that there are other activities, other spiritual activities meant for spiritual elevation, or apparently they may appear to be very, very advanced spiritual activities, but actually it is not. For example, sometimes we see when one goes to India, then one can see up in the Himalayas there are people, those who are meditating. They don't eat, they don't sleep. They're just sitting in some mountain caves, high, high up in the Himalayas, which is covered by snow, covered by ice throughout the year. And now apparently it may seem that those people are great spiritualists. Sometimes we see some yogis who are performing great mystic activities, displaying great mystic powers, like they can stay underwater for many, many days. They can even make themselves very light, and they can even fly through the space. They can produce something from nowhere. Like Srila Prabhupada once mentioned that he met a yogi long time ago who actually stretched his hand and picked up a pomegranate from Afghanistan. He was sitting in Calcutta, and Afghanistan must have been about 3,000 miles away from Calcutta, and he picked a pomegranate from Afghanistan. Prabhupada saw it with his own eyes. So these are some mystic yogis display this kind of yoga siddhis or perfections. And apparently it may seem that, these are such great spiritualists. Common people may usually mistake them to be great spiritualists. But here, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna time and time again pointed out that
The devotees of Krishna are situated in the topmost platform. This yoga, Ashtanga Yoga system has been explained by Krishna in the 6th chapter. And after describing the entire process of Ashtanga Yoga, Krishna mentioned that of all the yogis, a devotee who is engaged in loving devotional service to Krishna is the greatest. And here also Krishna is saying the same thing. Maya Vesha Mano Jemang Nitya Yukta Upashate. Ashakta means attached. And Mohi means unto me. Now Sanskrit is a very special, very precise language. Like in Sanskrit, if something is a living entity, then from the application of the words, it will become clear. If something is masculine, from the application of the articles, it will become clear. If someone is neuter, that means is neither a man nor a woman or a non-living entity, then it would become very clearly, very clear from the application, the way the words are applied. Now, here this particular word, moi, unto me, very clearly explains that this me is a person. It is not some sort of energy. If it was an energy, then it would have been a neuter gender. And the application would not have been specifically moi. The application would have been... anyway, actually, neuter gender doesn't have that expression me. Something that is neuter, something that is unconscious, cannot say me. Like for example, this table cannot say me, right? It's only a living entity that can say me. So when Krishna says that moi ashakta, attached to me, Prabhupada very precisely translated that as those who fix their mind on my personal form. Not some sort of some impersonal thing that Krishna was indicating. Like sometimes some scholars, Sanskrit scholars, misinterpret Bhagavad Gita by saying that when Krishna says me, it's not actually, he doesn't mean me. The Krishna, he means Brahma Jyoti, or the unconscious, unknown within. But actually Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna in a very simple language. And when someone reads the Bhagavad Gita in a clear mind, with a clear mind under the direction of a qualified teacher, one immediately gets to know that Krishna means Krishna. Krishna is not something else, some unknown, unperceivable mystery that is existing within a living entity. So here Krishna is pointing out that those who are engaged in, or those who are attached to him, his personal form, and are always engaged in worshipping him with great faith, then they are considered to be the most perfect. Perfection is actually the goal of life. The word siddhi means perfection, like yoga siddhi. This word siddhi and sadhana are interrelated. Sadhana is the means, or sadhana is the endeavor to attain perfection. The activities that give siddhi is called sadhana. And the activities that lead this ultimate perfection is called Siddhi. Like there are the yogis, they are practicing to become Siddhas, attain perfection. Similarly, devotees are also trying to attain perfection. But what is the perfection of a devotee? A perfection of a devotee is to become 100% surrendered unto Krishna and become completely engaged in serving Krishna. And Krishna is saying here that that is actually the real perfection of life. When one becomes completely engaged in serving Krishna, that is the ultimate perfection of life. Now, there are yoga siddhis. Their karmis are also at trying for perfection or trying for siddhi. Now, what is the karmic siddhi, karmis siddhi? Karmis, they want bhoga or enjoyment. Karmis are endeavoring for enjoyment. So the activities that the materialistic people are engaged in is simply for sense gratification. The jnani's siddhi is in attaining liberation. The yogi's siddhi is attaining 8 kinds of mystic perfections. And the bhakta's siddhi is to become completely surrendered unto Krishna. So here Krishna is saying that of all kinds of activities, this activity of rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead with great and transcendental love is the highest perfection. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also it has been said that Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atoeb Shanto Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Shakoli Ashanto. Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, is Nishkam. He does not have any desire. Therefore, he is completely peaceful. Atoeb Shanto. A devotee does not have any desire, therefore he is completely peaceful. But bhukti, mukti, siddhikami, those who aspire for material enjoyment, those who aspire for liberation, and those who aspire for mystic perfection, they all are ashanto, they all are agitated. Now when one is agitated, he must remain in the material nature. This material nature is meant for those who are agitated. But the spiritual nature is meant for those who are not agitated, dhiras, those who are completely peaceful. Therefore, the spiritual world is known as Vaikuntha. That means there is no anxiety. In the spiritual world, no one has any anxiety whatsoever. There everyone is peaceful. So it is the devotees only who can actually enter into the spiritual world. No one else. Like they may try to go to the spiritual world, but they won't be able to stay there. So in this way, Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita how devotional service is the ultimate perfection of life. And Srila Prabhupada has pointed out that how the devotees are perfectly situated. And what is the devotee's perfection? Devotee's perfection is that he is engaged in activities only for Krishna. Whatever he does is for Krishna. Actually, a living entity must be active. A living being cannot be inactive. Although sometimes misdirected people try to become inactive and they think that by becoming inactive they'll attain perfection. For example, that is the goal of the Buddhists, that's the goal of the Mayavadis. They think that by stopping all their activities
they are going to attain perfection. They think that the activities are the cause of suffering. So if they can stop the activities, then there won't be any suffering. Well, theoretically it sounds all right, but practically it's not possible. Why it's not possible? Because a living entity cannot be inactive. Only a dead person is inactive. Any living being must be active. Now somebody may say, well, I will become inactive, and he might try to stop the activities. But can he really stop the activities? He can stop the activities of the body, maybe, just by sitting down at one place for some time. But for how long can he sit down there? Some yogis can sit down at one place without moving for years together. But he may stop the activities, the gross activities of the body, but can he stop the activities of the internal functioning of the body? Can he stop his respiratory system? Can he stop his digestive system? Can he stop his heartbeat? No. And then what to speak of? Some yogis can do that. Sometimes some yogis can actually even stop their heartbeat. They don't really stop their heartbeat and they don't really stop their respiratory system. But they take a breath after a long time. Sometimes a yogi takes a breath after 1 year. They can attain that kind of perfection. That's why they live for so long, thousands of years. One may attain that kind of perfection that he takes a breath once in a year and his heart beats once a month. It may happen, but can he stop his mind? Can he stop his mind? No. Like his mind is going, although his body is sitting at one place, but his mind is moving with a tremendous speed. Now in Germany, next moment in India, then after that, his mind has gone to America. So this way his mind is constantly moving. So where is the possibility of becoming inactive? A living entity can never become inactive. A living entity's endeavor to become inactive is a useless waste of time. Wherever there is life, there must be activity. Yeah, sometimes there are inactivity in life, that is in a tree. Therefore, what happens to the so-called yogis, those who want to become inactive? You know what happens? It's been described in Krishna book. They become trees. They want to become inactive, so nature says, fine. You become a tree. You will stand at one place without any difficulty. Through the rain and winter and summer, you're just standing at one place. So actually nature provides nature always fulfills our desires. If somebody wants to become inactive, then the nature gives him an appropriate body. Just like the yogis, they want to become inactive and nature gives them a body of a tree. Nature says, well, you don't need a human body. You got the human body to function with so many wonderful facilities. Like I gave you a pair of hands, a pair of legs, a very advanced digestive system, a very sharp tongue, eyes, nose. But you don't want to use them. Why should I give it to you? Better you get a body of a tree. No nose, no legs, no hands, and just standing at one place. So in this way, nature actually provides. Another reason why one gets a tree body, why? If somebody likes to be naked,
he or she gets a tree's body, so that everybody can see naked. He is so interested to expose herself to the public eyes, then the nature says, okay. So you stand there naked for 5,000 years. So the point is that a living entity is a sentient being. A living entity is a conscious, active being. And that conscious being must be active. But the question, but the point is not to become active, but actually to stop nonsensical activities and become engaged in fruitful activities. Actually, in the material nature, living entities are involved in all kinds of nonsensical activities. Yes, those activities should stop. But how to stop them? We can stop our nonsense activities by being engaged in sensible activities. And that is what devotional service teaches one. Through devotional service, one learns to become engaged in the service of Krishna. And a living entity's existence is only for this purpose. A living entity is existing simply to serve for Krishna. And when a living entity becomes engaged in service of Krishna, then his life becomes perfect. So that's what Krishna is telling here, that when a living entity becomes attached to Krishna and becomes engaged in serving him with faith, with great faith. What is this faith? This faith or Shraddha has been defined in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Shraddha Shabde Vishash Kahi Shudriro Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hai. Faith means to have that conviction that if I render service unto Krishna, then all my duties are performed. Everything is accomplished by being engaged in serving Krishna. If I serve Krishna, then everything is done. So that conviction is called Shraddha or faith. So in here, it is said also, often this expression is used, Shraddhaya. Shraddhaya means with faith. So Shraddhaya Yukta. With faith when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna. Not, the devotional service doesn't mean that since I am staying in a temple, I must do something, otherwise the temple president will ask me to leave. So let me just do something, the bare minimum, so that they'll give me some prasad and don't ask me to leave. No, that should not be. That is not devotional service. That doing something just because we have to do it. Like, often we feel that way, often we do that actually. Like we think that, yes, at the time of initiation I took a vow that I have to chant 16 rounds. So somehow let me finish my 16 rounds every day. Now that is not exactly a devotional service. When it is done with a faith that this is what I'm meant to do. This is my... without doing this, I cannot stay. And if I do it, then Krishna will be pleased. And more I do it, Krishna will be more pleased. And the ultimate goal actually is not just to chant 16 rounds,
But the ultimate goal is to chant all the time. Ultimate goal is not to just render service for 5 hours or 6 hours every day, and the rest of the time I will do all kinds of nonsense. No, that is not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is to become engaged in serving Krishna all the time. And that is what is called Krishna consciousness. It is a matter of transforming our consciousness. The activities may remain the same, but the consciousness changes. Like in the temple also, devotees are rendering service. They're cooking, they're cleaning the temple, they're dressing the deities, they're speaking to people, they're going out and distributing books, they're going to the market buying different things. But what is the ultimate reason? The ultimate reason is to give pleasure to Krishna. And that is what devotional service actually is. When one is engaged in devotional service, when one is engaged in serving Krishna in that way, that is the ultimate perfection of life. And when one does that, then it has to be understood that he has achieved that siddhi or perfection. Actually, this Bhagavad Gita is the most wonderful book because Krishna explained everything in such a simple way, but at the same time it is so sublime and so profound. Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita is extremely profound. There is the perfect knowledge given in the simplest words, in the simplest way, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Actually, this Bhagavad Gita is the perfection of the Vedanta philosophy. Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that the Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Chaham. That I am the knower of the Vedantas, and I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the entire Vedas. And that personality gave the essential teachings of the Vedas. That is, Vedanta always deals with mainly three principal aspects. Sometimes it can be more. Those three principal aspects are Prakriti, Jiva and Purusha or Ishvara. Prakriti means the nature, material nature. Jiva is living entity, and Ishvara is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna dealt with two more topics. One is Kala and Karma. Kala means time and Karma means activity. And through establishing these five aspects of the Vedanta philosophy in a perfect order, Krishna gave the ultimate knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explained this material nature is the inferior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Living entities are His fragmental parts and parcels, minute parts and parcels. And He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of everything, who sustains this material, who created this material nature, and who maintains this material nature, and who at the end will destroy this material nature. And everything, he explained how everything is actually emanating from him and everything is resting upon him. So that is the meaning of God. God means one who is the source of everything and who is the maintainer of everything. God created everything and he is maintaining everything. Like often people claim, sometimes some unscrupulous people claim that they are gods. But if
we can, if we ask them, or if we, from their activities, if we try to find out, then we can immediately see that they are not God, because they are not the creator and they are not the maintainer. So that is the identity of God. God. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvang pravartate iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhavo samannitaha. Just in one verse, Krishna actually explains everything. That aham sarvasya prabhavo, that everything is emanating from me, and matto sarvam pravartate, everything is sustained by me, or everything is resting in me. And iti matva bhajante mang, knowing that when one becomes engaged in devotional service unto me, buddha bhavo samannita, he is the real wise man. So real wise man is he who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who is engaged in loving devotional service to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How do you recognize him? The way to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he is the origin of everything and he is the shelter of everything. And of course, we know also another definition of God is that he is endowed with all the opulences. He is endowed with all the opulences to a complete extent. He has all the wealth, he has all the strength, all the beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. Now, who can have that? Who can have all fame, all renunciation, all strength, all beauty? Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can have that, no one else. So it is very important to know that person. That who is he? That is very, very important. And the Vedas are giving us all the informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these are the scriptures that give all the knowledge, all the understanding about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Especially these books that has been translated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada with His Bhaktivedanta purport. These books are able to give anyone the perfect understanding about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one gets to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what's the next thing? The next thing is that he must be engaged in devotional service unto him. As soon as one gets to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he immediately feels like rendering service unto him. Therefore, knowledge about the Lord and devotional service go hand in hand. Or it is said that when one becomes engaged in devotional service, along with devotional service comes knowledge and renunciation automatically. When one becomes engaged in devotional service, he automatically becomes situated in spiritual knowledge. That knowledge actually becomes revealed in the heart. It's not that a devotee, while being engaged in devotional service, he has to study very rigorously. No, a devotee may not even study. But just because he is rendering devotional service, Krishna will give him the knowledge from within. Teshaṁ evānu kampārtham aham agyānajam tamo nāśayāmi ātma bhāvastha jñāna dīpena bhāśyata. So Krishna is saying that when one becomes engaged in devotional service unto him with all sincerity, then he gives him the knowledge, he removes the ignorance. Actually, knowledge is there. In every living entity there is this absolute knowledge. Every spirit soul is situated in knowledge. But unfortunately, the knowledge is covered. That is all, that is called, that covering is called avidya. It is due to ignorance that the knowledge is covered. But when that covering of ignorance is removed, then the knowledge automatically becomes manifested. So Krishna does that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ebanu Kampartham, Anukampa means compassion. Like Krishna, when he sees that someone is engaged in devotional service unto him, Krishna becomes very compassionate towards him. And out of his compassion, he removes Aham Ajnanajam Tamo Nashayami. Nashayami means I destroy. What does Krishna destroy out of his compassion? Ajnanajam Tamo, a darkness created by ignorance. And then he automatically becomes Jnana Deepena Bhashyata. Then automatically he becomes radiant or effulgent with knowledge. So the knowledge immediately shines forth. So when one becomes devoted to Krishna, then automatically he receives this transcendental knowledge. Jnana Deepena Bhashyata. And along with that also comes renunciation. When one becomes situated in knowledge, then he becomes renounced. But what is the meaning of renunciation? Renunciation means renunciation of unnecessary things, rejection of unwanted things. So what are those unwanted things? Those material things are unwanted things. Renunciation doesn't mean completely stopping all activities or giving up everything. Renunciation means giving up the things that are not necessary. And what are those things that are not necessary? All these material things. But he becomes engaged in using everything that can be engaged in service to Krishna. There are two types of renunciation, as Rupa Goswami explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that he's saying that one is a false renunciation and the other is a real renunciation. The false renunciation is prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathate. Phalgu means, the word phalgu means which is not there, which is actually false. Phalgu means false. So it is false renunciation. When one rejects things that could have been engaged in the service of Krishna, thinking them to be material and desiring for liberation, when one rejects the things that could have been engaged in Krishna's service, that is called false renunciation. But what is real renunciation? Anashaktasya Vishayan Jatharham Upajunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagamuchyate. Being detached, anashakta, being detached from the objects of the senses. Jatharham upajunjato, accepting just whatever is necessity, whatever is necessary for the sake of rendering service to Krishna. Nirbandho Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyamuchyate. That is called real renunciation. So that person who is situated in real renunciation, he may appear to be engaged in all kinds of activities. Apparently he may appear to be like a karmi. People often think that the devotees are like karmis. Like they don't see the difference between a devotee and a karmi. Because they think that both the devotees and the karmis are engaged in activities. But they don't understand that the karmis are active for their sense gratification, whereas the devotees are active in giving pleasure to Krishna. So Krishna here is pointing out that when one, that we must become attached to Him with love and devotion, and we must render service unto Him with faith, and if we do that, then our life will become successful. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, do you have some comments? Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Yes.
The question is that when we say that this material nature is so beautifully constructed and is being maintained so nicely, so there must be a creator. So with the same logic, one can say, then the creator also must have a creator.
Right.
Yes, every creator has a creator. But there is a supreme creator who doesn't have a creator. No, you see, the material nature is everything is being maintained with a wonderful law and order. So when it is seen that something is maintained very wonderfully, so there must be someone behind that who is actually maintaining everything. But that doesn't mean that God or that Supreme Creator also have somebody who has created Him. That logic doesn't apply there. Because, you see, the nature is the energy and the Creator is the energetic. The Supreme Energy, the ultimately, has the energetic. But the ultimate energetic may not or does not have, or is not produced out of energy, or does not have a creator in that sense. You see, ultimately, when it comes to the spiritual reality, logic doesn't apply. Even mathematics doesn't apply. But in the material nature, yes, logic applies. Because logic is the means to understand how things are. But when it comes to spiritual nature, the spiritual nature is achinto, inconceivable. So that inconceivable nature cannot be judged or defined and explained by logic. Our trust on the person who is actually giving it to us. For example, like why we are accepting this knowledge, if it's up to us. Why we are accepting it? Because we have faith in Srila Prabhupada. We may not see Vasudev, we do not know Krishna, we do not know the Guru Parampara. But we know Srila Prabhupada. And we trust him. And those who have seen him, seen that here is a person we can trust. Similarly, a disciple has faith on the spiritual master. His spiritual master's instruction. Because here's a person he can trust. If the disciple cannot trust the spiritual master, then it's very unfortunate for him. Therefore, one should be very, very careful when he takes initiation from a spiritual master. One must have implicit faith in him. Srila Prabhupada said, before accepting the spiritual master, we can check him out. We can try him in all kinds of ways. But once we accept him, then there is no more doubting him, his instruction or doubting him. Yeah, actually I didn't mention one point there. That these yogis, these are actually the perfected yogis who become trees in the spiritual sky. due to their perfection, you see, what they're doing is that they're standing at one place, or sitting at one place, and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when they attain that perfection of their meditation on the Lord, then they become transported to the spiritual sky and become trees in Vrindavan. But we must understand that they are, you know, perfect yogis, not just ordinary yogis. But otherwise the yogis, imperfect yogis can become many things. Like Bhagavad Gita says, the fallen yogi who couldn't make it. That means the real yogis who did not reach the ultimate goal, they take birth in aristocratic Vaishya families or Brahmana families so that they can get another chance to make spiritual advancement. But sometimes the other kind of yogis, the fallen yogis, those who are not properly situated in yoga, can become many things. One of the things they become is a snake. You see, the yogis just want to breathe, survive by breathing. And that's what the snakes do. Another name of a snake is Bayubhuk, one who eats air. So those who are so attached to just breathing and surviving by breathing, they get a body like that. Also it has been said that the Mayavadis, they are another kind of yogis. They become stones. They lose their consciousness and become stone. Yes, very good. The question is that we cannot see the spirit, but when Krishna comes, then we can see him. So what is the difference between avatar and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yeah. You see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his manifested pastimes and unmanifested pastimes. He is performing his Nitya Leela, eternal pastimes, all the time. But sometimes his pastimes become manifested. Now manifested means when he comes to this material nature, and the materially conditioned souls get a chance to see him. So although living entities do not have the ability to see the spirit, but by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can see him with their material eyes. And it's not that everybody sees him, although he is present here. Like sometimes, oftentimes, many people don't really recognize him as the Supreme Spirit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They think him to be just an ordinary person, and they become more envious towards him. Whereas the devotees, they become attracted towards him, and that's how they make spiritual advancement. So anyway, the ultimate point is the difference between the Lord and his incarnation is that when he comes in his original form and incarnates, then the conditioned souls can see him. Not so. Krishna says the Shambhavayami Atma Mayaya, that I manifest with my internal potency. So it is by his Yogamaya that he actually allows the other living entities to see him. It's the same person, but he is omnipotent. So he can make even conditioned souls see him. Just like in the temples, we are seeing the deities. Is the deities material, made of matter? No. But we are seeing. But when we are seeing, then we may think that this is matter, this is stone, or this is metal, or this is wood.
But actually, the deity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not matter. Just as Krishna's form is not made out of Panchabhuta, five elements, it's Satchidananda Vigraha. Similarly, his deities in the temple are also Satchidananda Vigraha.
When the deities come unmanifested, then it's also something material. Cannot get there. The deity, the wood, is also becomes Satchitananda Vigraha.
No. The real understanding is that just as when Krishna was here, Krishna appeared to be like a human being with flesh and blood. Now, although he appeared to be like a human being with flesh and blood, do we consider him to be a person with flesh and blood? No. He is Satchidananda Vigraha. He is made of eternity, knowledge and bliss. But by his Jogomaya, he appears to be like that. Similarly, his deity in the temple appears to be stone, but it is not stone. It is Satchidananda, Krishna. Now we have to see him like that. That here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appears to be a stone because of his Jogamaya, and it is due to my imperfected vision that I am seeing him as a stone. But actually he is Satchidananda Vigraha.
So sometimes the Buddha devotees, they see not stone, but they see Krishna?
Yes. He doesn't see the... like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Sthabar jangam dakhe, na dakhe tar murti. Sarvatra sphuraye tar ishtadev sphurti. He sees moving and non-moving, but he doesn't actually see that object that is moving or non-moving. He sees his worshipable Lord. So that is, when we see the deity in the temple, we must understand that this is Krishna. Yeah, one doesn't take care of the deity because it's wood, but one takes care of the deity because it's Krishna, right? What appears to be wood, he understands that is due to Krishna's Atma Maya, Krishna's internal potency. Yeah. You see, actually they cannot harm Krishna, but devotee, due to his love for Krishna, becomes very protective about Krishna. Just like Nanda Maharaj, say, Krishna, when he was in Vrindavan, nobody could actually harm Krishna. But the devotees of Krishna, say Krishna's mother, Krishna's father and others, they are very worried, thinking that something may happen to Krishna. So because devotees love Krishna, they are always in anxiety that some harm can be caused to Krishna.
as I said, like it is the imperfection of our vision. The thing is that the deity is Krishna. Now why don't you try to understand it this way? So when Nanda Maharaj is carrying Krishna in his lap, does he think, well, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so let me just drop in on the floor? Did he think that way? Or does he think that way? No. Why not? Because he loves him. Similarly, a devotee, although it is the deity, Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing can happen to him, but because of his love for the deity, love for the Lord, he thinks that something may happen to him. Yeah, sure. Sure. Krishna's whole family is spiritual. They all came from the spiritual sky to participate in Krishna's pastimes. But when they were performing their pastimes, like they acted like ordinary human beings, just like Krishna. For example, when Aniruddha, you see, Aniruddha fell in love with the daughter of Vanasura, Usha. And that Vanasura actually, when he found out, he captured Aniruddha and put him in the prison. And Krishna and Balaram had to come and rescue him after a big fight. So now, one may say that, if Aniruddha could be captivated by Vanasura, then how can he be the grandson of Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right? But you have to understand, this is what pastimes means. Pastimes means just like a drama. And more devotional we become, more attached we'll become to the Lord and His deities. That's not the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding. Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is that Krishna's vigraha is eternal. So eternal means is always Krishna. But because our vision is imperfect, because of our imperfect vision, we may think that this is made out of a stone, some sculptor actually carved it. Because of our disbelief, that way it is, deities are installed. So that we, less intelligent and neophyte devotees with insufficient faith, in order to generate faith in us, it is kind of made to understand that now it has become deity. Now there has been pran pratishtha. Now it has become Krishna. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is that it is simply out of Krishna's causeless mercy that Krishna himself became manifested. And as you said, like, what happens if the standard drops? Well, it happens sometimes, like in Vrindavan also it happened, like the pujaris ran away out of fear for the Muslims, and but those who are really sincere devotees of the Lord, they will serve the Lord, even though the situation is difficult. But they will serve the Lord with all their love and devotion. And it happened actually, when the Muslims were attacking the temples, the deities were taken away by the devotees, because they couldn't tolerate that the Muslims would come and you know, harm the deities. So they transported the deities. And sometimes they kept, if they could not transport the deities to a far off place under proper protection and care, then they kept the deities in some hidden place. Kept the deities hidden in some place. That's how Govindaji's deity appeared to Rupa Goswami. The pujaris actually left the deities out of the fear of the Muslims. And then when Rupa Goswami came, the deities appeared to him, Krishna appeared to him and told him that, look, I am here, so please rescue me.
And also I heard that one time they filmed the rallies, you know, the rallies.
When that sort of things happen, then we have to understand that it is due to the offenses of the devotees. When the devotees, those who are involved in the temple, if they commit some offense, then due to the offense, things like that happen. Actually, we have to understand that Radharani's hand cannot be cut. But due to the offense, Radharani left.
He was talking about rendering service and feeling after this way of peace and knowledge comes and renunciation. And I felt this when I was in Africa. But the next day, the mind is actually crying.
What do I do? I surrender to my authority. Well, yeah, that's the point. One must surrender to his devotional service. Devotional service means surrendering to your authority. What you like to do or not like to do, that is not the point. The point is what your authority wants you to do. And if you just act according to your instruction of your authority, like the authority, temple president or your Sankirtan leader, if the Sankirtan leader says, okay, go out, distribute books, you go out. If the Sankirtan leader says, today you cook, you cook. Our business is to become the servant of the servant. And when you really become the servant of the servants, then Krishna gives us devotion. Srimati Radharani becomes pleased and she gives devotional service to Krishna. Nothing is impossible. Actually, one remains in Maya because he wants to be in Maya. Right? Because if somebody sincerely wants something, then and if it is Krishna conscious, then Krishna will help him. And for Krishna, nothing is impossible. Right? So Prabhupada gave the example of how one is attacked by Maya. What Maya is actually like. He said that he asked somebody, to grab the tree, to hold the tree, right? Like that. And he actually gave an example that somebody is holding onto the tree and he is shouting, "The tree is not letting me go, the tree is not letting me go." So Maya is like that. It is we who are holding on to Maya. Maya is not holding on to us. And that's why it's called Maya. Right? It's a big illusion. Okay. See, the deity manifests out of the love of his devotee. And it's not that just somebody whimsically forms certain form and says that, or imitates certain form and says it's deity. No, it is out of love of the devotees that the deity becomes manifest. And ultimately it is out of Krishna's causeless mercy that he has appeared in that form. And he appeared in that form to reciprocate with his devotees. And it is the devotee's love that makes Krishna appear and stay and take the service. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. Would you like to make another announcement, if possible? Yeah.